Blog Talk Radio.
Don't move that radio dial any further, because you're at the right station at the right time and at the right place. Welcome to the biggest three-day weekend online. You're listening to this marvelous radio show, brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. We're on live, online, right here, right now. So sit back, relax, and listen and enjoy. And now, welcome to the show.
You look marvelous, darling.
Yes, you are marvelous, everybody. How's everyone doing today, this beautiful Saturday afternoon? How's everyone doing right here?
Walk to the house.
open your mind. You'll be a nagging wife. You talk too much.
Bitch, you never shut up.
He said you talk too much.
Oh boy, you never shut up.
Yes.
Now, while I'm here, I might as well go into the news. Yes, Serena Williams wins Wimbledon to secure another Serena Slam. Yes, when her opponent's final shot sailed out, Serena Williams wasn't sure whether the match was over or not earlier this morning. It took a few seconds before the realization sunk in. Not only had she won her sixth Wimbledon title, but her bid for another Serena Slam was complete. Williams overcame a slow start, 8 double faults, and a nervy finish to dispatch to get rid of Garbiñe Muguruza, 6-4, 6-4, earlier this morning for a fourth Grand Slam championship in a row and 21st major overall. Wow, the win means that Williams hold all four Grand Slams at once, completing the second Serena Slam of her career. What's more, she secured the third leg of a calendar year Grand Slam. And if she wins the U.S. Open, she will become the first player to sweep all four majors in the same season, in the same year, since Steffi Graf did back in 1988. Steffi Graf, and I remember that Steffi Graf was incredible. She was an awesome player. Not only she got all four wins, all four championships that year. She won Grand Slam, but also not only that, but she also won Olympic gold medal in tennis in that year, summer of '88, in the Seoul Winter Games. Summer Olympic Games, the 1988 Olympic Summer Games in Seoul, South Korea. So yeah, so Steffi Graf, she got like four majors in the same year, and an Olympic gold medal in the same year as well. So that was awesome just in her part. And Ms. Williams said in an on-court interview after the match, she said, "I can't believe I'm standing here at another Grand Slam because I'm having so much fun out here. I just never dreamt I would be out here still, let alone winning." Williams, who was 33 years old, is the oldest woman to win a Grand Slam title in the Open era. She has now won 8 major championships in her 30s, including her first Wimbledon title since 2012. Wow. Williams also adds on that, says, "It feels so good accepting the winner's trophy, the Venus Rosewater dish on center court from the Duke of Kent. It's been a little while, and you really appreciate holding it." Like, wow. And Williams, who won her 28th straight Grand Slam match, is now just one major title behind Steffi Graf on the Open era list, and 3 behind the all-time leader, Margaret Court. Excuse me, 2, I think there was a correction. She's, Williams is 3 titles behind Margaret Court, not 2. So she has to win 3 more to have as many as Margaret Court. So she has 25, Margaret Court has like 25 titles, Grand Slam titles. Williams was broken in the opening game by Muguruza with a hard-hitting 21-year-old Spaniard player. She was 21. Her opponent was 21, and she's 33. Wow. 12 years younger. Who was playing in her first Grand Slam final. In fact, she was the first female tennis player from Spain to actually play in Wimbledon since, I guess, the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. She was the first. Yes, well, the 80s, excuse me, well, 90s, my bad. Muguruza was the first Spanish woman to reach a Grand Slam final in 15 years and was bidding to become the first one to win Wimbledon since Conchita Martinez in 1994. Despite losing 9 out of 10 games in one stretch Saturday, she dug in and made it tough for Williams. So she did okay. She didn't lay down, though. She basically gave her a win. I mean, basically gave her some competition, you know. Says Williams hasn't lost a Grand Slam since falling in the third round to Alizé Cornet at Wimbledon last year. Since then, she won last year's U.S. Open this year's Australian and French Opens before completing the set at Wimbledon. Wow. That is something. That is something else. So, gotta give it up for Serena Williams. She did it. She did things. She did the doggone thing, and I'm happy for her. And hope you're doing. Hope you continue your success. Continue your success, ma'am. And I just want to say, well, there are some happy birthday wishes. I want to give a happy birthday wish to Alpha Trevette's grandchild, granddaughter, TJ. She's 5 years old today. I saw a picture of her. I thought it was, oh, she was just born. Okay, congratulations. Then he corrected me and said, oh, no, that was just 5 years ago. She's 5 years old now. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So she's 5 years old today. So congratulations. Happy birthday to you, TJ. Hope you have many, many more. And also I want to give a belated birthday shout-out to Kat Gunther. Kat Gunther, he's a fellow actor like myself. I've seen him at some of the plays that he's worked on, his plays work. He's a good friend of Anthony B. Harris, a good friend of mine. He used to be in Shadow Stealers and a whole lot of other public access programs that used to be on local cable channels here back during the 90s. I wish I was able to know him way back when. We probably would have been even more famous, though. I just didn't get to know him until this century, unfortunately. He had a birthday, I think, yesterday on the 10th. Also, July 9th, which was a Thursday, which was 2 days ago, Jimmy Smith turned the big 6. Oh, he had an incredible birthday July 9th. He turned 60 years old, so happy birthday to belated birthday to Jimmy Smith and also Kat Gunther. I hope I'll be able to see you over at the Macon Film Festival, which will start next weekend, as a matter of fact. It'll start next Thursday, July 16th, and will end on the 19th. And after that week, there'll be the Brag Jam Festival, which will have a whole lot of local bands. So you have movies in 1 week and movies and film on 1 week and music on the other. So you have the best of both worlds for the next 2 weeks. Then in Macon Zone, the heart of Georgia, geographically and literally speaking, the musical outlet for the state of Georgia. Hope I'll be able to see you all there at the Macon Film Festival next week. I know I'm in at least one film, at least one of them, and which happens to be the Legend of Seven Toed Maggie, which was directed by Joseph Lavender. He was the director of it, and also it also included the band Unbreakable Bloodline, which performed in the movie, which I promoted them when they had their concert back in May. Hopefully you'll be able to check them out soon if they're in your town, or at least get the DVD if it's available. I know it's available soon. I saw a picture of it available. It was produced by Black Flag Studios. I think that's Joseph's film company, but they're trying to get some distribution. So hopefully you'll be able to get it not only at stores, DVDs. Hope you'll be able to get the DVD, regular DVD or Blu-ray, whether at Walmart, Target, or even at Netflix or Redbox. I guess we'll find out sooner or later this month, according to, I guess. I'll give you the 411 about it when I talk to Joseph Lavender about it next week when we have the Macon Film Festival. Hopefully, I'll be able to have a man on the street thing, have a live thing of the Macon Film Festival while it's going on, and just talk, just have just an open mic, just talk to people for that Saturday, or at least for that Friday and Saturday. But that's pretty much what I'm going to be doing for next week. promoting the Macon Film Festival, as well as other events. Also, I just want to clear. I want to give more in detail of the career of Omar Sharif, who passed away yesterday. He passed away yesterday at the age of 83. He was born 1932, April 10th, 1932, in Alexandria, Egypt. He was born same year as my dad was. And he died yesterday, July 10th, 2015, at the age of 83 in Cairo, Egypt. He was an Egyptian actor. He was in Oscar-winning films such as Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago, and Funny Girl. He was nominated for an Academy Award and won 3 Golden Globe Awards and a César Award, which is a French Oscar, so to speak. His acting career began in 1954 in his native Egypt in a role in Shaitan al-Sahra, which is desert, Devil of the Desert. He was in the same year he appeared in Siraf al-Wadi, the Valley. He also starred with his wife, Egyptian actress Fatin Hamana, in several movies as romantic leads. Sharif's first English language film was the role of Sharif Ali in Dean David Lean's historical epic Lawrence of Arabia in 1962. This performance earned him a Best Supporting Actor nomination at the Academy Awards and a Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actor, Motion Picture. Even though he also shared a Golden Globe Award for New Star of the Year for Actor. Casting Sharif in Wood is now considered one of the most demanding supporting roles in Hollywood history, was both complex and risky, as he was virtually unknown at the time outside of Egypt. However, notes historian Stephen Charles Caton, Lean insisted on using when possible to make the film authentic, which was really good, which was very good and very forward, which was forward thinking back then, especially at that time during the early 60s. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. As I said, he was nominated for an Oscar, Best Supporting Actor in Lawrence of Arabia. He didn't win, but he did win the Golden Globe for his role in it for Best Actor of a Motion Picture. That was really great, which that was very, very good. He also, Sharif, also played a German military officer in the Night of the Generals in 1967 as Rudolf, Crown Prince of Austria, in Mayer in 1968. Oh, and he also played Che Guevara, the Latin American militia leader in the movie Che in 1969. So he played Che Guevara. Wow, that's something. Now, I did not know that. I've seen the beginning of it. I've seen Che before, I think on cable TV a long, long, long time ago, back in the early 80s. I had no idea who he was. But, it wasn't until like later in life I found out who he was. You know, he was a militant guy. But Omar Sharif will be remembered always. In May 2015, it was reported he was suffering from Alzheimer's disease, and on July 10th, less than 6 months after Hamama's death, at the same age, Sharif died suffering a heart attack at a hospital in Cairo, Egypt. So that's how he passed away. Wow. That's sad. That is very sad. Very, very sad. Well, I hope he will be remembered. That's definitely for sure. And we will remember him too. And I have some other stories about Amanda Peterson. I want to talk more about her. I had some other stories that I wanted to get today. I hope I'll be into it. If not, I'll probably have to go to it through other stories that I heard. But seriously, speaking of the things they're talking about, talking too much, basically, it goes back to the story of Donald Trump and stuff he's been getting into right now. And I definitely wanted to get into that. Says that Trump vows long campaign won't commit to backing GOP nominee. Says Donald Trump vowed yesterday to wage a hard charging and lengthy presidential campaign, including filing his financial disclosures with the Federal Election Commission as early as next week, as unease continues to swirl throughout the Republican Party about its subsidiary rhetoric on immigration. In a wide-ranging 30-minute interview with the Washington Post, the billionaire real estate mogul and reality television star also said he has serious concerns about other GOP candidates and refused to commit supporting in the eventual nominee in the general election. Trump said, "So many people want to run as independent. So many people I have been asked by. You have no idea. Everybody wants me to do it," quote unquote. Pressed about whether he could back the Republican ticket if he fails to win the nomination himself, Trump left the door open for a third-party bid of his own. "I would have to see who the nominee is. For now, Trump believes that he has the best chance of defeating Democrats is for him to win as a Republican because I don't want to be splitting up votes." Says, the specter of an independent run by Trump has unnerved GOP power brokers, many of whom worry that such a campaign could draw substantial support from the party's base. Similar to how Ross Perot's maverick 1992 presidential campaign won enthusiastic following among frustrated conservatives, which basically helped Bill Clinton to win the election back in 92. And Trump's comments came into a call to the Post to dispute some details reported earlier Wednesday night this week about a private phone call with Rince Priebus, chairman of the Republican National Committee. And Trump said that that call to Priebus lasted between 10 to 15 minutes with regard to Trump's ascent in the polls. He said that near the end of the discussion, Priebus asked him to speak in a more measured way about immigration. And Trump said he started off saying, "Wow, you really hit a nerve," Trump said. He said, "I don't think I've ever seen anything like this since I've been in politics." Then Trump added, then in closing, he said, "You know, if it would be possible, maybe you would tone it down just a bit, but you are who you are, and I know you have to do what you have to do." Wow. Says one Arizona Republican who was not enthused is Senator Jeff Flake, who earlier this week called on the local Republican Party to withdraw its sponsorship of the event, which will feature Trump and Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Wow. And then Trump said that he's got former Florida Governor Jeb Bush calling him. And believe me, Bush is watching. It's their worst nightmare. You understand that. And, oh, my goodness. And basically, it seems like the press also talked to Trump and renewed his attacks on Democratic frontrunner Hillary Rodham Clinton, saying that, quote, she did a bad job as Secretary of State. Quote, unquote, he said that she and her husband, former President Bill Clinton, were once friends, but I haven't spoken to Hillary in years, unquote. And asked to access Clinton's presidency, Trump said, quote, he would have been a very good president had he not met Monica Lewinsky and the others, unquote, end quote. Wow. That's something else. That is something. Figure out something. Speaking of people who don't know when to be quiet, Paula Deen has been catching some you know what, man, catching some stuff on her tweet picture. Says, "Lucy, you got some explaining to do." Says hashtag Transformation Tuesday at Bobby Deen. It says there's a picture of Paula Deen where I'm talking about on Twitter where she's Paula Deen is dressed up as Lucia Ball with her son Bobby Deen. As Ricky Ricardo in brownface. Now, a photo of Paula Deen's son in brownface cost her social media manager a job. It says hours after the official Twitter account for the celebrity chef inexplicably posted a 4-year-old picture of her son Bobby in brownface, the social media manager presumably responsible for the tweet is out of a job. Wow. Paula Deen's social media manager posted a picture this morning of Paula and Bobby Deen dressed in the costume as Lucy and Ricky from Isle of Lucy. This photograph is from a Halloween episode of Paula's Best Dishes that aired in 2011. A representative of Deen told E! News earlier this week. Paula immediately had this picture taken down as soon as she saw the post and apologized to all who were offended. As such, Paula Deen Ventures has terminated their relationship with this social media manager. Wow, end quote. The offending tweet, which remained online for over an hour, immediately drew the ire of the Internet, resulting in countless of irate tweets and blog posts across the internet. The social media misstep comes as Paula, who's 60 years old, tries to rebuild her brand, which was damaged after she was let go by the Food Network in 2013 after admitting to having used a racial slur, the N-word, in the past. Wow. A lot of stuff. Speaking of stupidity, have you heard, well, goodness, I guess I may have to talk about this tomorrow since it is 3:38 right now. And it's a story that I just found out, definitely got to talk about this for tomorrow. Can the KKK adopt a highway? Wow, I guess we'll find out tomorrow. We'll find out tomorrow in Sunday's version of this marvelous radio show. As a matter of fact, I'll have more stories about the teenagers that raised fracas over in a local nearby Walmart, and which at least I think five or six of them have been filed with felony charges. This is during the riot at June 28th at the Walmart in Macon at Zebulon Road. And we'll have more details about that, talk more about that tomorrow. And also, I just want to also have some more stories about Hyundai recalls a Sonata to fix the seatbelt buckle problem, which Hyundai was recalling 140,000 of them in the U.S. and Canada to fix a problem with this seatbelt situation. And I also want to say congratulations to Serena Williams for winning her sixth Wimbledon title, and she's completed her Serena Slam. Now she's got to get a calendar career slam, a calendar Grand Slam, which basically means she has to go and play, she has to win the U.S. Open again in order to have the whole thing in one calendar year. That's going to be fun. That's going to be really, 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 really fun. Well, that's all the news that we have right now. Also, just want to say, that's pretty much for the men's. Now, for the men's table for tennis, I mean, excuse me, the men's number, the men's Wimbledon singles match for the final, number one seed Novak Djokovic will go against number two seed Roger Federer tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Be able to check your cable supplier or a satellite supplier provider and see if you're able to get ESPN on either cable or a satellite dish. Your choice is yours, whichever one you have. Definitely check them out. See the men's go at it. Men's single finals Wimbledon match will go on tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. So that's all I have for today. Be sure to check us out. Be sure to check us out sometime. Be sure to check us out every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. and every Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. or at a different time on a updated date. Until next time, this is the D-Man here on behalf of Marvella Ivory, the namesake of this show. This is Derek Barrett, a.k.a. DB, a.k.a. the D-Man. Wish you a marvelous, marvelous Saturday. I hope you're doing well this wonderful Saturday. It's 94 degrees outside with a high of 98 and a low of 73. Please enjoy the sunlight while you can, but don't stay in there too long because it is going to get hot. Like I said, it's 98. It's a little bit close to 100. So definitely keep yourself, enjoy the sunlight, sunshine, but definitely stay near arm's length if you can to air conditioning, if you know what I mean. Definitely we'll check you out. We're going to close the show with a warning of the theme of having a big mouth to get you into trouble Donald Trump and Paula Deen has been going through this past week. Here is a song, a classic song from that same time era, 1984, 85-ish. Here is Houdini with Big Mouth. Have a wonderful and marvelous Saturday, everybody. Take care.
A big mouth, a big mouth. a rumor being said about me in the group, about something we think I'm supposed to do. You might not have heard it, or maybe you have, but when I first heard it, all I did was laugh. I used to get thanked and all up right, but you can say what you want to spell my name right, because all I never took me up is back to the house. But that's what the rumor was all about. Now if you like the best, tell all your friends, and if you don't wait until you see me again, this way I can get from the horse's mouth. The right then and there, we can straighten it out. Because I don't get involved with he said, she said, to take my advice and put it on your head. Because one day I might not laugh, but then your mouth might shake, so behind can't get.
You got a big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth. A big mouth, a big mouth.
People used to say that you had a big mouth, and now I understand what they're talking about. Because what we do is sit between me and you, not something that you're gonna tell your crew. But you had to tell Sharon, and she told Cal. Then the story goes on, just like a wheelbarrow. Cal told Dee Dee, and she told Pam. The devil's overheard her talking to her man. Pam was so creepy when she thought she heard. But somehow Easy E had got the word. He told somebody I knew from uptown, and they called me up and put me down. Now the whole darn story been changed around, and that's the reason why I'm not with you now. Because you never should have opened your mouth at all, and I wouldn't have had no reason to make this call.
You got a big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth. A big mouth. A big mouth.
Now you're the dime dropper of the neighborhood, and every time I see you, you're up to no good. You just like a snake falling on the ground, just before the news just spread around. Then you stick out, you're gonna start spreading lies, and now somebody else is in victimized. You may stop for a while, then you're at it again, and you always got to have the last word in. They call your mouth almighty, tongue everlasting. You ain't satisfied unless something happens. You don't have to be the no